when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it's time for Abandoned Manitoba right now with Gordon Goldsborough, who left us a very cryptic clue, as he likes to do every week on this segment. And Gordon joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
So what was that clue? Remind us.
Well, I said that there was going to be a building numbered 11. And what I was referring to was that in Winnipeg here, there are a number of buildings around the city that were built, well, sometime around 100 years ago as fire halls, and they had various numbers, and we're going to talk today about one that was numbered 11. Not all of them were numbered, though, because, in fact, Winnipeg today is not the same as Winnipeg in the past. So even some of the other municipalities had fire halls, and they weren't necessarily numbered. Numbered buildings, though, pretty good indication it's a fire hall.
So tell us about number 11.
Well, number 11 was the one that was in St. James, that at one time was a separate municipality. It was built in the summer of 1912 for the rural municipality of Assiniboia. At that time, that's what that area was called. And as its population grew, eventually they carved it into smaller municipalities. It became later the rural municipality of St. James. And then in 1972, it joined Winnipeg to become part of Unicity. And so originally known as the St. James Fire Hall, it later became the number 11 Fire Hall.
And what did it look like back then?
Well, they were all kind of consistent in their look. In fact, a lot of the fire halls, if you look around the city even today, there is a characteristic look of them. They are typically two-story because on the main floor they would have the firefighting equipment, you know, the trucks and so on. On the second floor there would be the place where the firefighters would live. And then the really distinctive feature that virtually all of them had was this tower that would stand, well, oftentimes considerably higher than the building itself, but not a tower that you'd think anyone could live in. It was very narrow, so it was kind of an odd-looking thing, but it was, say, a very consistent feature. And many of these fire halls looked alike, partly because of their function.
But was there another reason why there was a similarity?
Absolutely, because it turns out the majority of the fire halls in Winnipeg, even today, were designed by the same architects.
Who are these architects then?
Well, the story of the Winnipeg fire halls really is linked to two brothers, fellows named Alexander and William Melville. They came to Canada from Scotland, and in 1903, they established an architectural practice. And between 1904 and 1914, just 10 years, they designed the majority of the fire halls. In fact, they have what I call a baker's dozen, 13 fire halls that attribute to the Melvilles.
Was it just fire halls that they designed?
No. In fact, although they seemed to have had a specialty in them that they designed so many of them, no, there's around the city, there are churches, there are apartment blocks, theaters, private homes. But for some reason, they seem to have had a special affinity for fire halls.
The last Melville fire hall was built in 1914. Why no more after that?
Well, it's hard to know, actually. One reason might be that the partnership between the brothers seems to have dissolved by that point. In fact, I can find no evidence of what happened to William Melville after that point. He seems to have gone away. Alexander Melville, on the other hand, stayed here in Winnipeg, and he remained here through the rest of his life. And he remained active as an architect, but not building fire halls. You know, he built a variety of other things. He built, for example, telephone exchanges, you know, where all the circuitry for the telephones would be. But maybe it's simply because the reason they stopped building is they didn't need any more. They had effectively covered the city with fire halls, and therefore there was no more demand.
Did they design fire halls elsewhere in Manitoba?
Well, technically, yes. Again, Winnipeg at one time was just the central core of what we think of Winnipeg today. So, in fact, 11 of the fire halls that the Melvilles designed were for the city of Winnipeg, but two of them were for other municipalities, sort of adjoining municipalities. The one I mentioned before, the St. James one for the arm of Assiniboia, and one for the rural municipality of St. Vitel, which it was built in 1914. It was, in fact, one of the last fire halls that the Melvilles designed. But as far as I know, they didn't design any beyond that immediate sort of capital region. And I'm not sure why that is, because they did design other buildings farther afield. But maybe it's the case that I simply don't know about one. So if any of our listeners know of a Melville fire hall somewhere else in Manitoba, I'd love to find out about it.
So tell me more about this number 11 St. James fire hall.
Okay, well, it was built in the summer of 1912. And initially, it wasn't just a fire hall. It was actually sort of municipal services more generally. So they had the fire hall. They had had the big doors from which the trucks would come out to go out and fight fires, but it also hosted the police station. Mm. You know, so it was more sort of a municipal building overall. It's a two-story sort of yellow brick building. And again, its distinctive feature is this very tall tower. And say, in the case of the St. James one, a very conspicuous feature because it's just so tall. And the reason for that being there is that, of course, if you think about what it was to fight a fire, you'd have hoses, right? You'd fight a fire by pouring water on it. So you get back from the fire after you're finished, and you'd have all these wet, soggy hoses. Well, you have to dry them out. So they had at the tops of these tall towers pulleys with ropes over them, and then they bring a rope down, they tie it to one of these hoses, pull it up the pulley, and bring it all the way up to the top, basically stretching the hose out full length, vertically. Yeah. And effectively, then the hose would dry. It would drip dry over time. And that's why they had these tall towers. Now, people who probably have seen fire halls know that not all of them have these really, really tall towers. Some of them have towers, but not nearly as tall. And I was wondering about that myself. So I asked a friend of mine who is a retired firefighter, a fellow named Rick Northwood, and he explained why. Some of them have tall towers and some of them have shorter towers. The reason is the tall-towered ones stretched the hoses out full length. The shorter towers, they had what was called a saddle. Now, you might be thinking saddle, you're thinking a thing you'd ride a horse on,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. No, this wasn't that at all. It was a piece of metal. It was a half circle. It was about a foot in diameter. And the idea would be that the firefighters would climb a ladder on the inside of the tower, up to the top, where the pulleys were, and they put this saddle up there, and then they'd bring the hoses up, they'd pull them up with the pulleys, and then the firefighter would pull the hose over top of this saddle and then send it back down. So the upshot was that instead of needing a full height, you'd only need a half a height because the hose went up and came back down again. And so, in fact, the St. James Tower, even though it's a full-height tower, they didn't actually use the full height for much of its life. When Rick Northwood was working at the St. James Fire Hall, he said they only used half of it. They've actually blocked off the top part because they didn't need it because they used this saddle. But what he told me that was really kind of neat is that they would always get firefighters to go up to the top to manage the hoses as they were being pulled up. Always got the junior guy, apparently, because the more senior firefighters, they didn't want to climb that ladder. Right. You know, there was always a risk you could fall and hurt yourself, or, you know, maybe you just didn't really want to climb. You know, you're afraid of heights or something, maybe. But he said the firefighters would wait up the top for other hoses to be pulled up. So as they were waiting, they would etch their names or their initials into the bricks. And he says, so if you go to some of these old fire halls and climb the tower, you'll find names all over the place of these firefighters that were using, that were putting up the hoses.
What happened to the St. James Fire Hall?
Well, it was ultimately replaced. Soon after it closed in 2013, I had an opportunity to talk to one of the senior fellows in the fire department. He said, oh, he was so glad that they had moved out of it because it was a very cold building, especially in the wintertime. They built a new one not far away. Number 11 is just off of Portage Avenue, a little west of Polo Park, mm-hmm. On the north side of Portage Avenue. And the new fire hall, new number 11, is just right at the junction of Portage Avenue where it meets Route 90. It's right on Portage Avenue there. So it was sold. It was vacated in 2013. It was sold in 2014 to a private owner here in Winnipeg. And apparently the idea was that it was going to be reused. It was going to be turned into either a person's home or maybe a multifamily residence. But as far as I can tell, it hasn't progressed beyond the planning stage. It's standing vacant.
How many Melville fire halls are still standing?
Well, of the baker's dozen, as far as I can tell, there are still 10. Only one of those 10, however, is still being used as a fire hall. Now, what it means is the rest of them are not standing vacant. In fact, the interesting thing about this story is that the majority of them have been creatively reused. So, for example, the number 3 fire hall over on Maple Street, just off of Main Street, is now the Firefighters Museum of Winnipeg, a wonderful museum. And I would heartily encourage anyone interested in the history of Winnipeg to go and check out the Firefighters Museum in the old fire hall. Number 8 on Talbot was turned into a community church. Number 9 on William Avenue East is a daycare center. Number 10 is still in use. That's the one that I think, as far as I can tell anyway, is still in use. Number 11 is a Buddhist temple. Number 12 on Dorchester was turned into condos. Number 14 on Lipton is a person's private home. You know, you can turn these into, I mean, they're big buildings, but you could turn them into a private home. 15 is an ambulance station, and the St. Vitale Fire Hall is a museum. It's the St. Vitale Museum. So the only one of the ones that is surviving that is empty, as far as I can tell, is the subject of our today's episode, is the one in St. James.
So I think you just listed 10. What about the other three from that baker's dozen that you mentioned earlier on?
Well, unfortunately, they're gone. The earliest one to go was the number 6 over on Pearl Street in downtown core of Winnipeg. As far as I can tell, it was demolished sometime in either the late 20s or early 30s. Number 7 over on Burroughs Avenue was demolished around 98. The most recent one to come down was number 5 on Sherbrooke. It had been an automotive glass business for a number of years, but it was torn down in 2011. It's now a parking lot.
I'm really curious about that person who made a fire hole into a personal home, like what they did with that tower. Not
you gotta
bad.
Wonder,
not
eh?
Cool.
Well, the other thing I wonder about is they often would have a pole from the second floor to the main floor. What happened to the pole?
I hope it's still there.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Obviously.
That, you know, that somebody comes to the front door and you upstairs, you slide down the pole and you run over to the door. That'd be so cool.
Super cool. Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
What's the clue for next week?
Well, we're going to consider two examples of a very special kind of architecture known as Red River Frame. And these two examples are sitting abandoned here in Winnipeg.
Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.